what they eat. So this is an important point. And if you look at the American Institute for Cancer Research, they have developed 10 recommendations for prevention. We're going to go through those quickly and then come to the natural molecules for treatment. First of all, as Mr. Lewis said, try to be as lean as possible without abrasions, which is being starved. Try to be as lean as possible without being underweight. The world has come too far. I remember when Professor John Roy Taylor came down here talking about diabetes reversal. He showed us a bus stop in London in 1970, and it had 7 people in it waiting for a double-decker bus. He showed us that same bus stop in 2012. It could only hold 4. And he said, the United Kingdom has become fat. The whole world is getting too fat. Why control body fat? The research is clear. Carrying excess body fat, especially around the belly, increases cancer risk. There's no doubt about that. Fat increases not only cancer risk, the risk for all of the chronic non-communicable disease. So we have to get slimmer. Okay? Doesn't matter what the research does in trying to cure, the professor was telling me this point. If we keep getting fatter, all the chronic diseases will continue to increase. So there's a very important preventive point. Don't forget that body fat, especially belly fat, is dangerous. As I said, if you see a man with a big belly, the chances are he has more estrogen than his wife. And if a man has more estrogen than his wife, he's in serious at all levels. Because body fat produces a whole host of estrogenic-like hormones and growth hormones and increase the risk for cancer of the colon, swallow pipe, pancreas, kidney. And the research is now showing in England that as women have gotten fatter in the UK over the past 30 years, cancer of the uterus, the endometrium, has begun to be skyrocketing. Diabetes and cancer, Mr. Ian Lewis mentioned this, the study showed that having diabetes more than doubled the risk of pancreatic, liver, and uterine cancers, and also the risk for breast, bladder, and colorectal cancer. So obesity and diabetes increase markedly the risk for these cancers. Foods for a healthy weight, fruits and vegetables, whole grains, natural fats like nuts, avocado. We should discourage sugary drinks, calorie-dense foods, like the various breads and so on. This is a flawed society. When you tell people to eat off the bread and biscuits, the question is what can you eat next? Don't eat it. And alcohol. But if you're not serious about diet and weight, we're really only talking about these things. Recommendation number 2, be physically active at least 30 minutes a day. Walking, playing, swimming, choose the things that are fun. But it's important to exercise at least 5 to 6 days a week. Exercise is one of your best doctors, and you don't have to pay a cent. You can join the gym, but you can walk the beach, walk the track, swim. Exercise is too important to neglect. Exercise reduces the risk for almost all the cancers, you know. You notice that marathon running women don't get breast cancer, but it's because they have the breast. Because running marathons shifts the liver's metabolism of estrogen to a form that is totally benign in its action on cancers. Whereas women who get fat and don't exercise, the liver's metabolism of estrogen shifts to another type that is terrible for the breast. So women and men exercise more. My formula is eat less, exercise more, live longer. Number 3, avoid sugary drinks. Limit the consumption of energy-dense foods, processed, foods high in sugar, low in fiber and high in fat. Whatever the controversy about sugar and cancer in terms of cause, we do know that once a cancer is there, sugar is going to be gasoline for its growth. And therefore, we should always be moderate with these refined sugars, even if you don't have cancer, because sugar promotes obesity and increases the risk of all of the chronic diseases. Moving fast. Number four, eat more of a variety of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, and legumes such as beans. But this is where we are falling down, Barbados. We've moved away from the old-time cocoa, whether it was with cocoa and plantains or whatever, and we're eating now macaroni pie, a lot of fast foods. I have young people that I teach at community college or at university, and one girl told me her mother called me. I told you to talk to her. At that age, she was a bright girl and a beautiful girl. 19 when I come to university, she told me that then I want to admit something. I have never eaten a vegetable. I can't stand them. I had a counselor for 3 months to get her to eat a slice of cucumber. So now she's graduated, she's now eating a few slices of cucumber tomorrow. But a lot of young people connect their mouths at vegetables and fruits. They just want the fast foods and the chips and the chicken and the macaroni pie. And unless we are going to be eating more naturally, then listen, all the research is showing that unless we are in this area of prevention, eating more fruits and vegetables and getting back to nature and being simpler in everything we do, we are going to be spending a lot of money to achieve a very poor result. You see beans here, they don't happen to talk about beans, but I mentioned it a little later on. Cancer prevention foods. Eat at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day, at least. Some experts say 9. Fill about 2/3 of your plate with fruits, vegetables, and whole grains. Variety is the key. Our research suggests that eating 5 servings of vegetables a day and fruits can prevent, watch it, at least 20% of cancers by eating more fruits and vegetables and less of the processed refined stuff. Still on prevention. You see, the fruits and vegetables contain phytochemicals, vitamins, minerals, and fibers. We're going to expand on these a little bit as we go, as we keep your time in focus. Cancer preventing foods, all the berries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries. I know you want to tell me they're expensive here. Peaches, grapes, our Barbados dumps, tamarinds, gooseberries. This morning on my morning walk, I had breakfast from 3 trees. I passed a tree that had jamu. You know the jamu? That's like the blueberries packed with antioxidants. We stopped by that tree and picked. We saw dumps in September, which means the world has come to an end. So dumps are beginning in December. We stopped there and picked, and then we saw Five Fingers, and we stopped and picked. We weren't seeing them, by the way. One tree was wild. One we got permission last year, and we assumed we finished. So we. But breakfast on a tree is your best source. You're not putting any oil in it. You see the monkeys have their breakfast in people's trees. You don't see not one of them apologizing or asking them. So this is where you want to go. Your fruits and vegetables. And these vegetables here with color, carrots, spinach, kale, broccoli, the red peppers, green peppers, cabbage, and asparagus. These are fantastic things, you know, that we overlook. We need to have our plates fuller of this and less of the starch and grease and all that. Tomatoes, eggplants, celery. Now the research is showing all around the world that whether you're dealing with cancer or diabetes or any other chronic disease, green leafy vegetables, that is where massive protection is. And we don't eat enough green leafy vegetables. We call it bush. Men say it's cut the seed. All sorts of things here for bush. But the green stuff is where the protection is. And of course, when you're dead, you're not going to speak to him. It's really green. Okay. Very important to get the stuff in. I call it cauliflower and onions. Good stuff. The green leafy vegetables. So try something different. Ground whole grain rice rather than white rice. Wheat berries rather than the refined flour, amaranth, barley, quinoa, beans, This is a cancer talk, but the Alzheimer's Association of America is saying that one of the best foods to protect your brain, best foods, would be beans. A better source of protein than either red or white meat. Beans, a variety of beans, give you good protein when you mix your pork and give you fiber, phytochemicals, and wonderful protection against a lot of free radical damage. Lentils, nuts. Research has shown that people who eat walnuts and almonds cut their risk of diabetes and that dread cancer called pancreatic cancer. More nuts. We like a lot of peanuts. You can use peanuts, but be moderate with it because they contain a bit more saturated fat than the other nuts. But walnuts and almonds, hazelnuts, pistachios are ranked as tops. Even if you like pasta, there's no drum rice pasta and whole grain pasta available. Fiber is very important, and the reason why there's an epidemic of colon cancer is because people are not eating enough fiber. You see, fiber are carbohydrates that cannot be digested, but they're not just for good bowel movement. Fiber helps the colon to clean itself, but the research is now showing that bacteria in the gut act on fiber to produce fantastic chemicals we're going to come to in a minute. And these chemicals that are produced by bacterial action on fiber actually reduce the risk for cancer. More fiber. In the old days, when men used to be very natural, people used to eat, the researchers in history tell us, about 100 grams of fiber a day. And therefore, colon cancer could have scarcely occurred. Nowadays, if people get 30 grams of fiber, we say they are very good. You see where we come from, that 100 to 30. And most people today are getting less than 10 grams of fiber a day. And the more fiber is better, not only for colon cancer protection, breast cancer protection, cholesterol balance, all of that, fiber is so important. Moving fast. So, a plant-based diet is best. Also, avoid high temperature methods of food preparation. This piece of research was done. If you barbecue a kilogram of beef, that's 2.2 pounds of beef, you produce as much benzopyrene as smoking 600 cigarettes. You hear barbecue quiz all over the world, barbecue based on barbecue nets. Popular, but it is not healthy. Look, a research out of Australia is now showing that even frying in oil is not healthy. But my wife heard me talking about that, and she got a fancy thing called frying with ear. So, yeah, she fried some tofu for me yesterday in ear. So I told her congratulations. Because the oil is not too good. And you see the danger with these fast food things in the streets. They're frying the oil over and over again. If they buy 1,000 gallons of oil in January, they can fry it till Christmas. So when you think in November you think something that tastes good, you cancel that fire because it tastes so good enough. So you have to be very careful because frying in the same oil over and over again produces aldehydes, those who do chemistry or remember chemistry, and aldehydes are very toxic for cells. Now this came out in Europe 3 years ago. A lot of people don't seem to have heard it. Avoid processed meats altogether. And people don't seem to know what processed meats are. Bacon, ham, corned beef, maybe I call it corned beef, but I'm corn canned and everything you don't want. Corned beef, all those processed meats, European research has now shown, increase the risk of cancer. And the European Union has told its citizens, cut them out. Avoid alcohol. My position is to be a teetotaler. But if consumed at all, no more than 2 drinks for a man and 1 for a woman. But it is best to avoid alcohol. The British are saying that a small amount of alcohol helps to keep the coronary arteries clear, but a brilliant New Zealander female who was doing her PhD in at postdoctoral thesis has shown that even small amounts of alcohol increase the risk of ear, nose, and throat cancer. So forget it. And of course, absolutely no tobacco smoking or cannabis smoking. And this doesn't enter the controversy about medical marijuana. Okay, this is about smoking. Smoking things just add with. Somebody told me this drink because the Apostle Paul says a little to the stomach said. So I asked him what's wrong with his stomach. Limit the consumption of salty foods and foods processed with salt. Salted foods increase the risk of stomach cancer, let alone high blood pressure and those other things. Use more spices for flavor, and the spices, as we shall see in a minute, are powerful cancer preventers. Herbs and spices, you see that substance there, that molecule there? Nuclear, factor, kappa, beta. This is a little vagabond. When this gets loose in the body, it enhances inflammation. And inflammation is also like gasoline for all cancers. Breast, colon, prostate. Once there's a lot of inflammation, cancer will be driven. And spices and herbs control this molecule. Spices and herbs are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antimicrobial. They're all very good. Look at the list of them here. Turmeric, that's a master substance. We're going to talk a little bit more about this if we have time. I'm trying to get through in the time. Ginger, cilantro, cayenne pepper and chili, rosemary, fantastic stuff, thyme, cumin, parsley, mint, and dandelion. All of these we should use more of these in our cooking and less salt and grease. These herbs are powerfully protected. All the old time people use these herbs. We now move away from these herbs for a lot of things that are processed, but these are fantastic, fantastic things. I don't have the time to go through each in detail, but I'll touch on a few in a moment. And then there are certain key vitamins and minerals. The research is now showing that vitamin D is not just good for bones and calcium. Vitamin D helps to balance the immune system and strengthen it at the same time. Even lupus experts, my good friend Dr. Cindy Flower, I was just talking to him the other day about this, even they are now recommending, vitamin D to help balance the immune system in lupus. But the Americans are saying 1,000 to 2,000 units of vitamin D3 a day helps to prevent about 70% of cancers. Selenium is another powerful mineral found in a lot of whole grains. The carotenoids, lycopene from tomatoes, watermelon, the red watermelon, and the red guava, wonderful stuff. Watermelon contains actually a more absorbable lycopene than tomatoes, but they're all good. Although here the men are not eating the red part of the watermelon, they're eating the wheat part. Because here the wheat part contains a sildenafil-like substance. You know what sildenafil? Viagra. But eat the lutein, spinach, and astaxanthin. These are three fantastic carotenoids that a lot of research is going on in terms of prevention. Molybdenum and germanium, whole grains and nuts. And when you have sweet potatoes and pumpkin and so on, instead of peeling off the skin, cook it in the skin, wash and cook in the skin and eat everything. Because it is under the layer of skin that we have these important trace minerals. Alright, moving on fast. You can guess what this is. Turmeric, anti-inflammatory, appetite stimulant, antioxidant, epigenetic modulator. I'm going to tell you what that is in a minute because Mr. Lewis touched on it, but he didn't go into it. So I'm going to touch on that, of course. But I'm going to explain something about that in a minute. Ginger. Ginger is also a powerfully anti-cancer. So use more ginger, good old ginger tea. Mortimer. Now, back to breast cancer prevention. It is best for mothers to breastfeed their babies up to 6 months, at least, if not a year, and then add other liquids and foods. In this modern age, women breastfeed their babies for 3 weeks, pelt them in the nursery, and gone. And then we wonder how all the trouble is on the dog's back. The Creator made the baby to be close to the mother for a longer time than 3 weeks. Sarah weaned Isaac at 5 years of age. You can't tell any mother woman that she will lock you up. My mother told me she weaned me at 1 year, I thank her. But nowadays, too many women are not breastfeeding. You see, breastfeeding is not just good for the baby. Your research has shown that breastfeeding reduces the risk of breast cancer. When you put the organ that God made to its right use, it is always protected. So women breastfeed your babies, you're doing your breast a favor. And there's another piece of research which shows, and so I'm going to put it in its right moral context. When husbands frequently fondle their wife's breasts, that also reduces the risk of breast cancer. So once the breast is put to its right use, the incidence falls. So it's good for the mom and good for the baby. Breastfeeding is good for the mother and good for the baby. And number 9, this important point was brought up by the American Institute for Cancer Research. After treatment, whatever the treatment is, cancer survivors should change their diet and follow the recommendations for cancer prevention. Don't get cancer treatment and then go back and eat the same foolishness that you're eating all along. Eat healthy. Or cancer fighting foods. No single food or food component can protect you against cancer by itself. Evidence suggests that it is the synergy of compounds working together in the overall diet that offers the strongest cancer protection. And therefore you need 5 to 7 servings of fruits and vegetables, including cruciferous, deep orange colored foods. You see, or deep orange colored sweet potato. You know, the Americans call that a superfood. Our sweet potato, the Caribbean sweet potato, is packed with powerful protectors. It has no more fiber than oats. It protects the colon. It's fantastic stuff. So we need more of that. Citrus, the green, the dark green leafy vegetables are always superb. Red for your light bean. We need to eat more beans and legumes, more nuts and seeds, and 0 servings of sugar and alcohol. You see what all the food we eat give us natural sugar, right? To go and add sugar is not necessary at all. Alright, we come to a technical area, a biochemical area, so I'm going to go through it carefully, and still fast enough. In the 1940s, Professor C.H. Waddington, a geneticist and biochemist, introduced the concept of epigenetics. You heard Mr. Lewis say that very few cancers come by intrinsic genetic issues. We now know that a lot of cancers come by epigenetics, that is, other factors acting on the DNA. The DNA you might have inherited was good, and then other factors acted on it, or act on it, to change it. Epigenetics, the Greek word epi means upon, the epidemiology upon the people, means things that act on the genes. And there are 2 ones that they're looking at very closely. One is called DNA methylation chemistry, again when you put a CH3 or a methyl group onto cytosine in the DNA molecule, that leads to trouble, especially if that occurs at the center of the gene called the promoter center, which is responsible for controlling cell growth. Mr. Lewis told you that cancer is fast, unregulated growth when something happens to the control center in the gene, and we now are seeing in biochemistry that if you methylate the DNA at that point, you can sugar a problem that will lead to cancer. Another area we're looking at is histone acetylation and deacetylation. These are two areas they're focusing a lot of research on in epigenetics. So as you were told, cancer is a complex multi-step process. Bits of damage must accumulate over a long time. There are genetic mutations, but most importantly, as Mr. Lewis stressed, are outside genetic problems, epigenetic alterations, leading eventually to abnormal gene regulation. Then there is abnormal cell multiplication, differentiation, and apoptosis. That is, the cells don't die off when they should, they just keep multiplying. Yeah. Cancer is the epitome of selfishness. As one writer said, cancer in the physical world is like sin in the spiritual world. You know, all the problems in the world start from selfishness. And cancer is like that. Cancer wants everything for itself. It will not stop growing and grabbing until it kills you. That's a spiritual dimension. So I hope you can see these. Let me just go through these quickly. This one here is diindolyl methane called DIM. This comes from eating broccoli and all of the cruciferous vegetables. Broccoli, cabbage, kale, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, asparagus, all of them, when they are digested, produce this substance. This is a fantastic molecule. Women who eat more broccoli and men who eat more broccoli reduce their risk of breast and prostate cancer, respectively. And what this substance does is that it prevents the abnormal methylation and acetylation of histone and cytosine, and therefore helps to decrease proliferation of cancer cells. This one is deuterate, and this comes from eating a lot of fiber. When you eat a lot of fiber, cells, the bacterial cells in the gut produce deuterate, and deuterate goes into the body and prevents abnormal epigenetic DNA demethylation, and that helps to prevent cancer as well. Curcumin is a top stuff. If you check the biochemistry, there are at least 100 ways in which curcumin, which is the active ingredient in turmeric, prevents cancer. It reduces inflammation. It prevents the abnormal DNA methylation. It protects the promoted area of the gene. As a matter of fact, we don't understand that just as when you have a queen bee and a queen ant, when you're dealing with cancer, you have master cells. And when you shine radiation and chemotherapy, the ordinary cells that don't say anything, they die off. Research is now showing that the master cells shut down and hide. And the chemotherapy, only a few chemotherapeutic agents can touch the master cells, you know, not all. And the master cells will hide and remain there for years. Send out chemical signals and then the course is clear, come back with a vengeance. But the good news is this, we have no synthetic chemical, and that's why, as I will show you later on, trials are now going on curcumin. There is no chemical we can synthesize, according to researchers in the USA, that comes anywhere near curcumin in its ability to touch those master cells. And what we are now understanding is that even if you want chemotherapy, you can use these, you can use curcumin and these other cells as well. They will enhance, not go against chemotherapy. And I think that's what some of our oncologists here need to understand. You have German oncologists and USA oncologists who blend the two. Some of our oncologists say, if you're taking chemotherapy, don't take anything natural. That is not necessarily so. The research is showing that certain natural molecules actually may help chemotherapy to work better. The epigallo catechins from decaffeinated green tea extracts and so on also prevent DNA demethylation. Moving on fast. Genistein and diabenzin from soybean are very protective against certain cancers, prostate and pancreas. And then this fellow here, quercetin, gooseberries, tamarinds, dunks, All the non-citrus fruits are rich in this fantastic molecule quercetin, and this is a powerful protector also against cancer. Now we come to a very important one, resveratrol. Resveratrol, a lot of research is now going on for resveratrol. We get it from red grapes, skin and red grapes and Japanese knotweed root. And this is being tried now in prostate and other cancers. About 1,000 milligrams a day. A lot of research is going on here. This is available there for us in Barbados. And sulfuropine, again coming from broccoli and cruciferous vegetables. I don't have time to go through the biochemistry, but the important thing is that these block the epigenetic pathways of methylated DNA at the promoter center that triggers the gene alterations. Papaw leaves, people come and ask me about papaw leaves. Dr. Nam Dain at the University of Florida published in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology, and at the university we have our pharmacologist there is Dr. Damien Cohall, friend of mine, and he did his PhD in ethnopharmacology, looking at Jamaican herbs useful in disease. He's interested in this area. But what they've found so far is that papaw leaves are immune boosting. They have a direct attack on the cancer cells, and clinical trials are now being planned. But a lot of people boil papaw leaves and drink a little bit every day for help in many of these areas. So most of the major plant-derived compounds are in cancer clinical trials. For example, curcumin, Mr. Lewis, is now in a phase 3 trial in both the USA, Germany, and also in, I think, Spain or France. Phase 3 trials, because curcumin has showed so much promise, a lot of work is being done on it. You want a curcumin that is well absorbed. And I think Solgar, that company Solgar, has produced fantastic breakthrough in nano absorption technology, and they have a curcumin that is extremely well absorbed. But curcumin, use more turmeric and so on, but curcumin is wonderful prevention, and it can also help with cancer, whatever treatment, other treatment you are having. Among the minor plant-derived compounds, lycopene and thymoquinone, thymoquinone is coming from black cumin seed oil, which is also good stuff. These are now in clinical trials in the USA. Many epidemiological studies suggest, and research suggests that a diet rich in fruits and vegetables may reduce the risk of cancer by mediating multiple biologic activities and conferring the ability to contract cell signaling cascades and mechanisms that may lead to gene damage and epigenetic mechanisms. Summary of the therapeutic molecules. Curcumin, grape seed extract, resveratrol, seed tree, all around the world, and I'm not just talking about alternative things, I'm talking about doctors and biochemists in serious evidence-based research looking at molecules, and these three come out on top, that's right in this order. Curcumin from turmeric, grape seed extract, resveratrol, quercetin, green tea, polyphenols, diethyldrolyl methane from cruciferous vegetables, garlic and aged garlic extract compounds, pomegranate polyphenols, all of these are available. We can use them to prevent, we can use them to help ameliorate, help control, help treat, and there are people who are getting fantastic results from these molecules plus a pure diet. Regional research in the Caribbean, I can't finish without touching this. Dr. Henry Law in Jamaica and Professor Bryant from Maryland University, USA, have published in the West Indian Medical Journal in March 2013 that the Jamaica ball moss, Tillandsia recurvata, the ball moss in Jamaica, they got in vitro evidence for anti-cancer activity for the prostate, and now that is about to go into clinical trials. But I can tell you right now, as I phone some colleagues in Jamaica, that there are some Jamaicans who've gone through prostate surgery or brachytherapy and hormone therapy, and they're using this product by Dr. Henry Lowe, and it is adding to their improvement and survival, even though it is awaiting clinical trials. You know, I just want to give you a story behind this. I had an old man coming to me at the youth polyclinic. He was 97 years old. And he was walking strong, giving me a lot of inspiration. I see a man at 97 walking so strong. He told me that pregnant is the problem with young boys. They want Kentucky and Chefette and these strong performance drinks. But I grew up on Gullyroot tea. And I said, Gullyroot tea? So I went and did some research. Gullyroot is what the Jamaicans call Guinea hen weed, what the Spanish call anamu. The same Dr. Lowe and Professor Bryant have done accumulated in vitro evidence and found a molecule in Gullyroot called dibenzyl trisulfide that is good for the brain, good for men. You may know what I mean. Good for veins. But above all, good for cancer prevention and control. What Professor Bryant showed at Maryland University is that this substance in Gullyroot inhibits certain cancer enzymes called kinases that the cancers need for growth. More research is required, but I tell you, people in Jamaica and in Barbados are using Gullyroot. The only contraindication for Gullyroot is that if you're a woman and you're pregnant, don't use it because it stimulates the uterus and will cause the baby to abort. But cancer patients are using this with good results, even though they are awaiting the clinical trials. That only goes to show the research that has been done in our area as well. Now, highly controversial is Graviola sour salt. We have many empirical claims, a lot of people saying that it works for them. A lot more research is needed. Both UK and USA authorities are warning that they think the evidence is insufficient and that there need for clinical trials, but there's a little warning here. If you are prone to Parkinson's disease, the way that Graviola acts on the mitochondria, both in cancer cells and normal cells, it could precipitate neurological side effects. So they're warning that more evidence has to come for this. In some people claim they get good results, others, they say they have to watch it. I'm just presenting it objectively. So the best way to fight cancer in the olden days, and all right now, as Mr. Lewis was saying in his good talk, was to destroy the pathologically altered cells with surgery, cytotoxic, antineoplastic drugs, or radiotherapy. Still the standardized regimen up for today. But now we are considering that chemo prevention, the use of natural dietary agents, and or even synthetic compounds similar to those in healthy individuals without signs of malignancy can present a better chance to avoid cancer and even delay, control, or reverse. Many plant-derived compounds have been identified for their anti-cancer properties with an emerging field regarding the modulation of epigenetic events. I didn't happen to talk to you about Dan Lenn. Dan Lenn is fantastic stuff. They're doing some research on that at a university in Texas. Most compounds are evaluated regarding histone modification and DNA methylation. That's the biochemistry they're focusing on. And these are the references we have. So I thank you. That was a condensation, but we can prevent a lot of cancers by eating healthy. And out of those same natural things, research is looking at molecules that can help. And here in Barbados, I've recommended to a lot of patients the same resveratrol, grape seed extract, and curcumin. Whether or not they were on chemotherapy, with good results. I don't have time to answer the question on ozone. Let me just touch on this by saying this. Mr. Lewis mentioned Professor Warburg in Germany. Joanna Budwig in Germany also did research showing that cancer cells are largely anaerobic, and if you flood them with oxygen, they will move towards apoptosis. She invented the Budwig protocol, where she mixed flaxseed oil with a protein, and that unlocks the channels in the cell membrane. Oxygen rushes in and can kill the cell. Some people respond very well to the Budwig protocol, some may not. I have a very good example of a young lady who had a bad family history of cancer. Mother, grandmother died before 50, and she had it at 48, had breast surgery, radiotherapy, chemotherapy, and within 2 years it came back to her lungs. And she came to me crying, and I told her, well, pray, straighten up her diet. And I told her, well, I recommend her trying the Budwig protocol. I told her I couldn't promise her anything. And she delayed the next CAT scan for five months. And when she went back for the CAT scan, lo and behold, the two nodules in the left lung and the one on the right were shrinking. Now, this is 2.5 years after, and she's not even worried about cancer anymore. She's concerned about her other issues with her joints and so on. So it worked very well for her. There's the ozone theory protocol went down properly. Again, it's flooding those cells with oxygen. And if you get the oxygen into a cancer cell, and you already changed up the diet and have these other molecules, it can also hurt the cancer cell as well. So those are interesting areas for research. Alright, well, time is gone, but I thank you for your audience. That was a synopsis. Any questions?
Good evening, Dr. Berkeley.
Yeah, good evening.
Tremendous display. First of all, by the way, my name is Dr. Stan Orville, Health First Clinic. I have some flyers if anyone needs some at the end of the presentation. But I appreciate the efforts both of Dr. Lewis and yourself. As you know, I'm very much into, my background is pure science. I, in Britain, made the very drugs that go on the drugstore shelves that treat some of the problems. So I believe there's a time and a place for prescription of pharmaceutical meds. I don't advocate that on a wholesale basis. Nutrition, however, and this is where I differ slightly from the arguments Dr. Lewis was presenting, nutrition is absolutely important. We now know in medical research and biochemistry that if you give the body, I don't care how riddled it was or is with cancer, we can reverse that. I have several patients where we reverse cancer. Three, 4 weeks ago, I was on Morning Barbados with a lady who's now 3 years into remission of a breast cancer. She was late-stage breast cancer when she came to me. And one gentleman with prostate cancer, and he's now cancer-free. The argument is, and always will be, that there is no drug on the planet, and you don't have to be a super-duper Christian to understand this, there's no drug on the planet that can do for the human body in a state of disrepair what proper nutrition, effective, adequate nutrition can do. This is the way God has set this thing up. Our bodies respond to nutrition and not chemotherapy, radiation, cut, burn, and poison strategies. I would just like to add that I have seen from a personal perspective in my clinic that people can reverse even some of the most dreaded conditions. We reverse diabetes, folks on high blood pressure. We are turning these things around, but the attention has always been and will always be nutrition-based.
Thank you very much. I forgot to mention a product over here, the arginine, which improves blood flow and also gets oxygen to tissues, and although it is primarily for high blood pressure and diabetes and clearing the arteries, it also helps cancer patients to feel a lot better as well. So you can check that corner there for some information on that supplement.
I just want to add one thing. In our clinic, we offer intravenous medical ozone therapy. This is intravenous. And you have to go to Germany to to have that done. We're the only clinic.
Dr. Oden, I must interrupt you. If you have a question, pause it. If you don't, please don't use the opportunity to promote your business.
No, but I wanted to comment please. On something that Dr.
Well, just get straight if you will. Thank you.
Can I just make a comment on what he
sure.
said? He was talking about the benefits of ozone. And that's what I'm saying as well. Okay? This is a natural protocol that even the best cancer clinics on the planet, which are in Germany, offer. And we offer it at our clinic. That's all I wanted to say.
You just have to get that out of there. Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Dr. Dunway, I think you should be here.
We're here usually as a laughable nitric oxide therapy. Can you shed any light from that in relation to cancer treatment?
Well, okay. Nitric oxide is a big area. The Nobel Prize in medicine in 1998 went to Louis Ogao, Forgot, and another colleague for showing how the inner lining of arteries make nitric oxide starting from the amino acid arginine, and that is extremely good for high blood pressure, keeping the arteries free of atherosclerosis, and also helping to protect from vascular damage and diabetes. And they're now showing that it is helpful for the brain, helpful also for the amelioration of debility in cancer patients and so on. It was devised primarily for arterial protection, because arginine is a natural amino acid. The inner lining of the artery uses it to make nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is the best molecule for keeping the arteries relaxed, flexible, and clear of atherosclerosis, improving the blood flow to all of the body, and benefits in multiple areas of concern. That's all I happen to say on that right now. Okay, and you can check over here. You get some more information on that. Any other questions on the cancer molecules, cancer prevention? Because our time is running out, it helped me out of here by a certain time. Yes, I do.
I appreciate the fact that there are all these things that are so helpful. But if there are persons who take all these things and still have a problem, some persons have the malabsorption problem. How could you get around that?
Well, that's another big area. If a person has malabsorption, it depends on what is the cause for malabsorption. If it is a problem with their enzymes, if it is a problem with the intestinal lining, and these things will have to be investigated to find out. A lot of people might just say they have malabsorption as a fact. A lot of people walk around and say they're gluten intolerant. But if you want to be logical and scientific, if a person has malabsorption, it would either have to be maldigestion, the pancreas not producing the enzymes, like in chronic pancreatitis, the bile not doing its job, or an intestinal problem like true gluten enteropathy and so on. There are some people who, as they age, the enzyme output of the pancreas may decline, and there are enzymes available that they can take with each meal to help digest. But if you're using the term malabsorption, it's always important to find out what is the cause so as to know how to direct a therapeutic solution. Okay?
I appreciate that. And the cruciferous plants, vegetables, so often persons are told not to use them because they say that they form gas. Yet they fight cancer.
Yes, you know what it is with patients and gas? Gas is the most common diagnosis in Barbados. People can get gas in the neck, gas in the knee. An English doctor came down here many years ago and he attended the Lewis and he was practicing, you know, Barbadian parlance. And an old lady came in and told this British doctor that she had gas in the knee. And the poor fellow got up and went and asked the other professor, is this a new syndrome? You know, this is the agenda. So, don't worry about the gas you get from vegetables and beans, listen to this. Flaxseed and beans and beans and peas produce gas because they have substances in them called enterolactones, which are acted on by intestinal bacteria to produce molecules like the glutarates that are extremely good for preventing the hormone-induced cancers. So when you eat flaxseed and peas and beans and get gas, that is righteous gas, don't worry about it. Okay.
What about the dosing of curcumin? What do you recommend?
The thing about curcumin is that it's difficult to absorb, and many formulae use biotin from black pepper and cayenne and so on, and ginger, to enhance the absorption. There are many reasonably good curcumin products available, but one of the best now is the Solgar full spectrum curcumin, in which one of their capsules of 40 milligrams is equivalent to 75 100 milligram capsules of the ordinary extract. So that's really a really tremendous advancement. But if you're dealing with cancer, you need that same full spectrum. I recommend 2 a day to give the equivalent of about 5,000 milligrams of curcumin action on those master cells and to reverse DNA methylation and so on. If you're dealing with the curcumin itself, it doesn't usually cause any problem. If you have to use the turmeric, some people get it's a gallbladder similar, and some people may get a bit of indigestion. I hear Dr. Carolina Goddard saying that some people using it got acid reflux. But if you use the curcumin, the extract, in the right way, you can obviate that. It is very good for cancer. You use it at a high dosage, the equivalent to 5,000 milligrams of the wild curcumin to attack cancer cells. Just like grape seed extract, you can go up to 1,000 milligrams, and resveratrol, 500 milligrams, and these molecules, as well as quercetin, 2,000 milligrams, these are the kind of dosages that fellows are using now. Even if the patient is on chemotherapy or not, and getting good results in terms of suppressing proliferation and suppressing spread. Sometimes the cancer just remains there, but goes no further on these molecules. How are we going to turn, Mr. Chairman? Well, I thank you very much, and I hope the information given by Ms. Lewis and myself will help you in the course of next time.
Thank you very much. I can assure you, Dr. Dudley, and I know I speak on your behalf, that the information certainly offers help, and a lot of us would certainly want to find ways and means of bettering ourselves. And so we thank you very much. I just want to quickly, as we get close to leaving, invite you to visit the booth. This, you see some bags over by that table. Those are bags designed by the art class. The art class of the of cancer support services, the art therapy class actually. These are patients who are journeying with cancer and they have found art to be a good therapeutic avenue. We also invite you to visit the Ensure booth as well as for Arginine booth. The for Arginine plus team Destiny, if you know they're here, and they will answer any questions or supply the supplement. The information reference, the PSA, you saw that coming up. That's on the 14th of October, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., only $50 at Cancer Support Services. So we encourage the men, ladies who are here, you can encourage your men to come over to Cancer Support Services and have their PSA screening done. And there's no appointment necessary. You just walk in and enjoy the experience. Let's say thanks now. So I invite the past president of Cancer Support Services, Carmel Bess, to offer the vote of thanks.
surely, my friends, you would wish me to express a word of thanks to our two presenters who both shone this evening with the knowledge which they were able to share with us. Surely, events like this requires some support, and we are delighted that allowing us to mount this lecture tonight with our two presenters, Dr. Dublin and Mr. Lewis, are the representatives of Abbott Nutrition International, those who supply us with insurance. I was very, very delighted that Dr. Dublin was here with us, because when I was president of Cancer Support Services, I almost single-handedly depended on him. People would call and say they need someone to come and share, and all you had to do was to call Dr. Dudley, and Doc feel he would respond. We just have to tell him where it is, and he would make the journey to share with others. So I can say that persons were in the back recording you, so you could ask for a fee. You stand at the door and ask for, But yes, the lecture was really, really quite enhancing for our life, and there was quite a lot of information which I heard here tonight, which complemented much that was shared in the annual lecture, the annual conference which was held earlier this year in June. And Dr. Lewis, he made the point that we should interrogate our GPs. You know, when we visit and we receive information which we are not necessarily happy, or is something about which we have some challenge, he recommended that we should, we should ask questions, we should interrogate them so that we can have access to the best information possible. But they each left us with a lot of food for thought. They each showed ways in which we can try to prevent or to minimize these diseases, and I trust that all of us, having been exposed to the knowledge shared, that the best way we can complement them is to go home and actually do what they advise us to do. So again, to the both of you, I thank you most sincerely on behalf of Cancer Support Services. I also like to thank the management and staff of the conference services here, who made this venue available to us. Thanks to Hollis Burnett of HB Media Entertainment, and thanks as well to the Pro-Arginine Destiny team. We've heard them referred to quite often this evening. And thanks to those representatives of the media who were here to capture this lecture for us. I trust that, well, I know that all of us have enjoyed the evening. But as I say, the best way that you can pay your tribute to the two men who took their time to share with you is to go home and start living what they advised you to do. So I trust that all of you will have a good night. Thanks for coming, and that you will make your journey home safely. Thanks to Brother Antoine as well for sharing.
Thank you also, Carlisle, for your presentation on the Board of Thanks. Again, I remind you of going over to the booth where the bags are located. You can support Booth as well, Ensure, and the Arginine Destiny team. I would also want to acknowledge the team at the Office of Cancer Support Services. I speak of Executive Director Jan Linton and Administrative Assistant David Howard. To all of you, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, and we'll talk about all the safety.